east. Dawn was close to breaking, and as her eyes adjusted to the steadily brightening light, she saw the bodies. They littered the ground, dark mounds that stretched as far as the eye could see, forming a perfect, unbroken line where her Ilshara had been. The corpses glistened in the light, and through the stunned, disbelieving hope that suddenly blossomed in her chest, Asha realized that the creature's armor seemed to be just gone, disintegrated to dust. "How?" she whispered. "The rift is closed." Davian sounded as though he barely believed what he was saying. "Caden said that the Banes wouldn't be able to survive without a connection to the Darklands. That has to be it. The rift is closed." Asha swallowed, her hands trembling as she sat abruptly, relief warring with concern that she was still missing something, that it couldn't possibly be over.
"Then Shemeloth?"
"I don't know. Gone, I suppose," said Davian, scanning the sky pensively as he said it. Asha followed his gaze, marveling at the clear, deep, emerging blue that was swiftly banishing the last of the stars.
"You don't think he's dead?"
asked Weir, though his tone indicated that he knew the answer already.
"No, I don't think that's even possible," said Davian quietly,
and Asha silently nodded her agreement. Nobody who had truly experienced whatever that thing had been would think it could be killed. Not completely.
"How is this even possible?" asked Asha,
still unable to bring herself to trust what she was seeing. She turned her attention back to Dylanis, or where it had been. The mists had dissipated to nothing more than a light haze now, revealing nothing. The entire city of Dylanis, as well as the looming island it had perched atop, had collapsed into the raging waters below and apparently sunk beneath the earth. The river that had once split itself around the island was now forming a new, vast lake, the dark brown sludge and debris from the collapse already washing away, though a low-hanging cloud of dust remained. In the distance, she could even see the cliff that marked the beginning of Desriel's territory.
"Dav, if the rift is closed, then you can't go back, right?"
Asha continued softly. She knew it was the case, but she feared that she was forgetting something, missing some way that Davian could still end up at the end of Caden's blade. It was supposed to be inevitable. It was supposed to have already happened.
"If the rift is truly closed, then no one can go back," Davian confirmed, sounding just as dazed.
"Well, I think it is," observed Weir, peering down into the newly formed lake. "I really think it is." He turned to them, a slow grin splitting his features. Asha grinned back, then moved to Davian, who was watching her and touching the steel torque around his neck.
"Ash, I can't take this off now. Not permanently, anyway," he said, looking embarrassed.
"I would have asked, but..." Asha snorted as she threw her arms around him.
"Don't be a fool," she murmured in his ear, then kissed him, deep and long.
Eventually, they collapsed to the soft grass, the tension of the past few hours draining away to utter weariness. Weir joined them, and they sat shoulder to shoulder, watching in exhausted silence as the first bright rays of the sun peaked above the horizon. Suddenly, there were tears in her eyes, and she was sobbing, crying into Davian's shoulder, gripping Weir's hand so tightly that it probably hurt, but she found she couldn't stop. From the shaking of their bodies as they returned to embrace, they were feeling the same thing. There was no exhaustion, no sense of triumph, just mourning for those they had lost and relief, pure, blessed relief. The release of a tension that had been with them all for far, far too long.
"It's over,"
Davian whispered the words in her ear. Whether they were for her or for him, she didn't know, but they were a comfort nonetheless.
"It's over. It's over,"
she repeated, holding him tight. There was more to do, she knew, more to face in the coming days, probably the coming years. But now, right now, all she cared about was that he was there with her. He was safe. She huddled with the other two, weeping with joy and grief and that overwhelming sense of utter, utter relief. The bright dawn settled warm against her shoulders, bathing the three of them in its clean light, rays shearing through the space where the city of Dilanus had once been. It was over. Davian sat beside Asha and Weir at the edge of the chasm overlooking Lantarsh, still staggered by what he was seeing. Sunlight glittered off the fast-flowing water far below. The mists had completely vanished with the full coming of the dawn, revealing a smooth, newly made lake that stretched seamlessly to the Desrealite cliffs, not even a vestige of the fallen city that had once obscured the view remaining. The distant green of Desriel looked vibrant in the early morning light. Everything was calm, quiet, peaceful. It was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen. Absently, he searched for Khan again, repressing an instinctive shiver at its complete and utter absence. Not being able to even sense it after so long, after depending on it for his entire life, unsettling, didn't do the sensation justice. He could feel essence trickling into him through the torque, could feel that if he used energy from his reserve, it would quickly be refilled by the power streaming in from Asha. He suspected that the vessels in his body would still be there too. The torque worked, after all. But he could no longer see them. The ones that drew on Khan wouldn't do anything, but others might still be useful. He would try them, in due course, see which, if any, he could still use. But right now, with Ash's head nestled against his shoulder and his arm around her, bathed in the morning's warm, clean light, that all felt so irrelevant. "How is this possible?" he murmured, not taking his eyes from the magnificent sight in front of them. He shook his head, not for the first time trying to wrap his head around it. Did we actually change fate?
"Honestly, I don't care,"
said Asha, looking up at him with a smile, her eyes shining.
"As long as you're here, I don't care."
"My thoughts exactly," added Weir, shifting slightly to clap him on the back. Davian gave them an appreciative smile, heart lighter than it had been in, he didn't know how long.
"No way to know now, I suppose," he observed. "Not for us, not for anyone."
Weir raised an eyebrow at him, and he shrugged. "No more visions, no more knowledge of what's going to happen." He stretched. "Something may have changed, but there's just no way to tell anymore." Weir lay back on the grass, staring up at the cloudless blue sky. "Might be for the best." Davian and Asha joined him, murmuring their heartfelt agreement.
"So what now?"
asked Asha quietly as they lay there. None of them spoke for a moment, and then Weir was the first to respond.
"As insignificant as it seems to me right now, I'll need to go and find whatever's left of our government. There's a lot of work to do, I'm afraid," he said reluctantly.
"Straight away?" asked Davian.
"Straight away," affirmed Weir. "We have an army from Nesk and an army from Desriel inside our borders, and maybe an army from Talon Gol coming. Even if Caden was right and they're willing to negotiate once they realize that the Venerate are dead and their special armor doesn't work anymore, I need to be involved."
He shifted, a flash of sadness crossing his face at the mention of their lost friend.
"Besides, the Assembly's a political mess right now, and Tol Shen are still in prime position to take advantage. I think we all know how likely they are to look out for the country's best interests. Someone needs to keep them in check."
Davian gazed out over the lake.
"Personally, I hope you tear them and their petty toll to the ground, Weir," he said softly. "But whatever you decide to do, you can handle them."
Weir patted his oathstone.
"Fates, yes, I can."
Davian grinned, and he heard Asha chuckle next to him.
I imagine your first priority will be the Neskians, though?
Asked Asha abruptly, a slyness to her tone. Weir glanced over at her, a half-smile on his lips.
Definitely. Good.
Asha lay back with a satisfied expression. Weir rolled onto his side, looking across at them.
What about you two? Will you come with me?
He cleared his throat.
Not to make too big a deal of the situation, but you're probably the two most powerful people in the world now.
Davian stretched, looking at Asha.
Sounds like we can probably demand some time off, then. It does sound that way, agreed Asha solemnly.
She hesitated, glancing at Davian.
We may have to figure out some things with the Lith at some point, too. That's a discussion for later, though,
she added firmly to his questioning look. Davian nodded his acceptance, sharing in Asha's determination to just enjoy the moment. He turned back to his friend.
Fair?
Weir laughed, waving his hand.
Given what the two of you have been through these past couple of years, I won't begrudge you a little time to yourselves.
He gave them a mock stern look. But then you're back to work. For me. That's an order.
Well, I suppose you need someone around who will listen to you, Asha said with a dramatic sigh. Don't worry, Weir. We're not going to abandon you to do it all alone, agreed Davian lazily.
He closed his eyes, soaking in the sun. There was silence for a while, and then, as if at some unseen signal, they started talking about the people they had lost, began remembering the friends who had fallen. Asha laughed tearfully as she recounted how Aaron and Fessy and Cole had first treated her. Weir talked of Tayrus and his father, and his uncle and Caroline. Davian talked about Raelith and Naya, about Ishel, Mistress Alita and the others from Caladel. All of them so important to their journey. All of them gone forever. Lastly, as if by unspoken agreement, they talked about Caden. And as they recounted stories, Weir and Davian in particular, given how much better they'd known the man, Davian couldn't help but wonder. Wonder whether their friend had somehow changed fate. He lingered on the thought, letting the other's conversation wash over him. What would that even mean? Caden had believed that their choices were always theirs, regardless of whether they were fated. So had Raelith. Did Davian believe that, too? He thought he did. Finally, though, he shook his head. It was a question that he wanted to answer, but now wasn't the time. Now was a time for grieving and reflection and rest. Finally, as the sun crawled upward, they fell silent. An unspoken acknowledgement passed between them that it was time, that there were still things to be done. Weir was the first to rise, stretching and giving the other two a slight nod before wandering away from the chasm. Davian got to his feet and helped Asha to hers before standing for a long moment at the edge of the cliff, staring down into the glittering lake, marveling. Asha took his arm gently, pulling him away to join Weir. The three of them walked back into the forests of Andara together. Epilogue. Caden took a long, last look at his friends and turned, strode determinedly into the swirling mists of Dilanus. The white tendrils sucked at his skin, caressed him, the fog thicker and more active than he'd ever seen it as he made his way across the smooth white bridge. The howling from outside was muted in here, but still audible, fumbling its way eerily through the dense atmosphere until it arrived murkily at his ears, jumbled and somehow even more unsettling. He reached the edge of the bridge and jogged down the stairs, heading along the central street toward the inner city. His footsteps were automatic, certain, even with visibility low enough that he could barely see the facades of the buildings to either side. He knew this city, had studied it, explored and memorized every inch of it over the years in an attempt to better understand the Javet. He didn't need to see the way ahead to know where he was going. He felt his pulse race as he walked,
still not quite believing that any of this was actually happening. Cassandrid was dead. Alaris was dead. Davian was no longer an augur. He was the last one. And he was dying. He could feel it. Feel the essence leaving him as it leaked from his makeshift reserve with every step. No longer linked to Asha and without a source of his own, he didn't have long to do what he was intending. Not that it was going to work. Caden's expression blackened as he walked, the solitude and space finally giving him the chance to think. The latent anger that had been building up inside him abruptly came bubbling to the fore. Davian didn't have to die. The rift should close without him now. But it wouldn't. Couldn't. That wasn't how this worked, and Caden knew it. "This isn't fair," he snarled the words at the mists because he didn't know where else to address it. "I deserve what's coming, but he doesn't." He glared into the white, raising his gaze toward where he knew the heavens would be, releasing his frustration and pain into the words. "Why not show yourself? Intervene! If you truly exist and Shemaloth is your enemy, then why do you hide?" His words were devoured by the muting mists, vanishing swiftly to nothing. Did he believe that El cared? Even here at the end, he wasn't sure. He was certain that Shemaloth was evil, certain that this was the right thing to do. That didn't worry him. But the rest of it? Raelith would have told him that there was no decision without doubt. He would say that all of this, all of the suffering and death and madness, was just a consequence of the world's separation from El. A consequence, in a way, of choice. "You want me to believe that we all choose?" he muttered grimly. "Then you'll let me go back? You'll let me stop him from walking out of that building and talking to me? I've had my time 100 times over, but he hasn't even had a chance to live. You have to let me change things. Send him back here so that he can live." Nothing happened. No response, no sign. Just as he'd expected. There were no answers to be had here. Caden shook his head tiredly, set his jaw, and increased his pace, angling for the arbiterium. The streets of Dylanis were dead, as always, even his footsteps swallowed by the encroaching mists as he found himself navigating patches of dark bodies where Davian, Asha, and Weir had evidently been forced to fight their way through. He eyed the corpses uneasily. He could still use Khan, but without sources of essence to draw on, he didn't particularly want to have to fight any Banes, but none of them stirred. He exhaled as he walked into the inner city, the mists still thick but easing somewhat. He soon found himself passing the house in which he and Davian had lived while they'd trained. That had been only a century ago? It seemed like so much longer. He sent a hopeful thread of Khan into the mist, but for the first time there was no response. What had happened to Orkoth? He very likely would have attacked Cassandrid as soon as the Venerate had arrived here, despite its being a battle that he was always going to lose. Orkoth's mind was too far gone, and Cassandrid probably hadn't even realized what Orkoth was before killing him. Perhaps now, finally, he was at rest. It didn't take long before he came within sight of the arbiterium. He stuttered to a brief halt as he took it in. No mist touched the building that housed the Javet, each stone in its structure glowing a dark, pulsing red. Caden had never seen it this way before. Cassandra had claimed he'd fixed it. Perhaps he truly had. Bracing himself, Caden approached, pulled open the doors, and walked inside. The chaos of the inner workings of the Javet struck him like a blow, even though he'd been expecting it. The thousands of lines of essence blurred as they were drawn toward that storm of gray smoke, which impossibly was still contained, roaring and shrieking and beating at its restraints like a wild animal that had been chained. He stumbled to a halt, staring, the surreal import of the moment finally sinking in. He was about to die. Stepping into the torrent would suck away the last of his remaining essence,
killing him once and for all. What would happen to the rift, though? Would it still close if Davian had yet to go back? He squared his shoulders. Going back to save Davian wasn't possible, he knew that. But he could still choose to try. He stepped forward into the long corridor that led to the Jabet itself. The ground rumbled beneath his feet warningly, the tremor causing him to stumble hard against the nearby wall before he regained his balance. The howling mass of gray smoke up ahead seemed to shriek louder in response, more furiously than it had a moment ago. Caden frowned. He took another step, and a thunderous cracking sound cut ominously through the shrieking of the rift. His heart leaped to his throat as he looked up, saw the fissure as it began to make its way along the heavy stone roof, accompanied by dark, jagged splits that ran down the walls everywhere. Farther ahead, he could see fractures opening in the columns of the main room, small chunks of stone beginning to slide off them onto the floor. The Jabet, the Arbiterium, maybe Dylanus itself, was collapsing. Caden ran. The floor began to buckle and break beneath his feet, but Caden risked pushing a little essence to his legs, leaping over large broken shards of stone that jutted up in front of him and landing relatively smoothly, managing to keep his balance despite the shaking. He sprinted forward, twice having to dodge chunks of ceiling as it collapsed, then skidding over a column that had fallen across his path. The gray whirlwind was fluctuating now, thrashing one moment and then completely still the next. The inner columns, the ones keeping it contained, were somehow still intact, but Caden could see that they were about to go. He dashed forward, heart pounding, leaped into the maelstrom. The slithering tendrils of the Grey River immediately tore at his mind, sinking in and ripping at his thoughts, at his understanding of reality. For a second, he was sure he was dead. He tumbled wildly as the stream dragged him and battered him and tossed him from one unidentifiable place to the next. He had no body here, but the sense of chaotic motion filled him, overpowering everything else. He shouted in panic, but nothing came out, no sound, the empty void of twisting gray swirling through him, ripping him apart over seconds, minutes, eons. And then, somehow, in the briefest instant, between one act of churning violence and the next, he focused. Khan gushed through him like a wave, dark and cold, flooding every pore. The thrashing abruptly eased. He was still being swept along at a dizzying speed, but now the motion was more logical, as if he had finally managed to break the surface of the river after flailing about underwater. The crash of sensations lessened enough for him to get his bearings, and part of him was tempted to pause, to marvel at where he was. That wasn't like escaping from Zvelar, which had been akin to falling down a waterfall. This was like swimming in a vast ocean of eddying currents, millions of them, each one trying to take him in a different direction, each one a different possibility, a different time and place. He knew that he couldn't survive here for long, though, so he pictured Davian, homed in on his desire to save his friend. Things and events of personal importance, according to the Darisian theories, could act as a kind of beacon in the time stream. There was no telling how close to correct they had been, but the ring had worked for Davian. It was his best chance. A lighter patch of gray in the distance. Caden had no physical body here, but he willed himself toward it, reaching out almost by instinct toward the light. Something shifted. He stumbled to his knees as everything spun. Torches around him winked out as he drained them of their essence, taking a few gasping, gulping breaths of air as his vision cleared enough for him to take in his surroundings. His heart sank. It was night and the narrow alley was deserted, but the jagged architecture of the dark stone buildings around him was too distinctive, too familiar. Why was he here? When was he? He dragged himself to his feet, anxiety sucking at the pit of his stomach as he realized just how little essence he had left. He stumbled to the mouth of the alley, orienting himself against the towering outline of the citadel. He was somewhere in the eastern district of the city, which did contain some people, but there had always been a lot of empty buildings out this way, too. The population of Ilshan Gath Del Teth had never been large enough to fill the city's accommodations. That was bad news, because sources of essence here were rare, even when there were people around. He propped himself up against the nearest wall, breathing hard, then flinched as he felt something pulling at him. He looked down on instinct, but there was nothing there. The sensation came again, insistent and strong, real enough to throw him off balance. He braced himself against the wall, and then pushed through Khan to see what was going on. His blood went cold. Ethereal gray tendrils crawled over his arms, his legs, his torso, sinking into his skin, latching on and straining. He couldn't see where they were trying to haul him to, but he could feel the gray river just beyond his sight reaching out greedily. He resisted, focused. The wisps of gray relented, though nothing he did, no use of Khan, no amount of concentrating or physical movement, seemed able to shake them off entirely. Time was already trying to take him back. He finally accepted that he'd done all he could, releasing Khan and stumbling back down the alley, lightheaded, as essence leaked steadily from his body. Where to from here? A flicker of light off to his left caught his eye, a lamp still burning inside a nearby house, maybe a fire. A moment later, he heard the muted sound of a baby's cries coming from within. A mother still awake then, probably nursing her child. There was nowhere else to go. He needed more essence, even if it was just from the flames. He fumbled at the handle to the door, surprised and relieved to find it unlocked. The woman inside was already on her feet, eyes flashing when he stumbled through. He stared at her, mouth agape, not sure he could trust his own eyes.
"Who are you?"
snarled Naya, brandishing a knife with one hand even as she held a shrieking infant with the other. The child looked pale as it cried, thin and sickly, while Naya's own features had been made haggard by stress and tiredness. She looked considerably thinner and weaker than in Zavalar, but her eyes burned with such familiar fire that despite himself, despite the situation, Caden couldn't help but smile.
"Naya, it's me."
Caden coughed, the flames in the fireplace dimming as he drew some essence.
"It's Tal."
It was Naya's turn to stare, the only sound the child's wailing.
"Tal?"
The olive-skinned woman gazed at him with equal astonishment.
"What? How?
You said that we shouldn't have any contact. How did you even—" She trailed off, eyes suddenly narrowed.
"Prove it. The last time we saw each other—"
Caden gripped the frame of the door to steady himself.
"You were significantly uglier."
Naya snorted, but Caden saw a small, disbelieving smile touch her lips as she lowered the blade. She placed the weapon on the table beside her, careful not to put it within the child's reach.
"There would have been trouble if you hadn't said significantly."
"I know you too well to risk anything else," said Caden with a tired grin.
Naya tarried, then swallowed and walked over, one arm encircling him tightly as the other held the baby, who finally seemed to have settled. She pressed her forehead briefly, joyfully, against his shoulder. Caden almost fell into the embrace.
"Tal!"
Naya grunted, straining with one arm as she helped him into a chair, then snatching a clean cloak from nearby and wrapping it around his blood-stained shoulders.
"Are you hurt?"
"Dying, actually."
Caden rubbed his eyes blearily, waving away her shocked expression.
"The other Venerator did. I came through the rift in Dylanis, believe it or not. If you're here, then this is nearly 20 years ago for me."
Naya immediately pressed her hand against his chest.
"So we won?"
"I think so."
Caden gave an unconscious sigh as essence began flowing into him, his head finally clearing, strength returning to his shaky limbs. The time stream still tugged insistently at him, but he steeled himself more easily now, resisted its pull more firmly.
"Thank El,"
Naya breathed. She removed her hand, looking vaguely embarrassed as Caden gave her a grateful nod.
"That's all I have to spare right now," she added.
Caden looked at her puzzled.
He was thankful for her help and didn't need more straight away, but that should have been only a fraction of Naya's reserve.
"Something to do with the transition between Dargaethan and human, I think," explained Naya ruefully. "Or maybe the trip back here through the time stream. But I haven't had close to my full strength this past year."
She shrugged, absently stroking the child's hair. The little boy seemed to have run out of energy, his eyes closed. Tal's thoughts finally clicked into place and he stared at the child, mesmerized.
"Naya," he said softly, barely daring to hope. "You said it's only been a year since you got out?"
"Perhaps a little more."
Naya followed his gaze, beaming proudly. Caden swallowed, dazed. It shouldn't have been possible, and yet... He laughed, smiling, a blaze of relief and joy loosening his chest. Naya hadn't been able to shapeshift because of the second source inside her. He'd guessed it the moment both shapeshifting vessels had failed to work. She hadn't even known at the time. He was certain. So he had done the only thing he could think to do, even as it had shamed him as deeply as any of the other deaths he'd caused. But he'd known that she would never have agreed to it, would have stayed and died rather than made that choice. And that even if she had not, she would never have been able to live with herself afterward. So he'd made the decision and prayed that she would never realize what he had taken from her. And yet here she was, smiling in mild bemusement at his reaction, her and Raelith's little boy sleeping soundly in her arms.
"May I?" asked Caden dazedly, still smiling, holding out his arms.
Naya assented, carefully transferring the boy. The child squirmed, but his eyes remained closed. Caden studied the child, trying to look happy for Naya, but he couldn't ignore the sense of unease washing over him. His first impressions had been accurate. The boy's skin had an unnaturally pallid hue to it, almost gray, and he wheezed as he breathed, each lungful sounding like a struggle. Caden swallowed, then almost stumbled as a momentary wave of dizziness washed over him. He frowned. His essence shouldn't be running out that fast. He focused, examining the energy remaining within him. Still some, but not nearly enough after what Naya had just given him. Was being in Talon Gul somehow draining him faster? He pressed through Khan, trying to see what was going on. To begin with, he couldn't see anything unusual, and he almost let Khan go again, ready to move on to more important things. And then he saw the strands, three of the tiniest, thinnest lines of essence he'd ever seen, impossible to even glimpse unless you were looking for them, stretching from him to the child in his arms. And Caden hadn't created them. His heart beginning to pound, Caden kept his grip on Khan and carefully examined the little boy, absently allowing him to wrap an entire hand around his forefinger. It took only a second to find what he had been looking for. The child had no source. Caden's mind went blank. Naya saw his expression, concern immediately flooding her features.
"Is something wrong with him?"
"No. No, it's..."
Caden took a steadying breath as a chill ran down his spine.
"Is he ill very often?"
Naya hesitated.
"Almost always," she said, a slight tremor to her voice. Sometimes he seems like he's barely breathing, but I can't take him to a proper healer. I'd be assigned to the Serarium, and then he'd..."
Her eyes glistened, and he saw exhaustion, frustration, fear for her child. She quickly recovered herself.
"He hates being alone, but being around him I always feel..."
"Weaker," finished Caden, a heavy pain in his chest. So this was why he'd been drawn here, and remarkable though it was, it only confirmed that he couldn't save Davian, not when it mattered. Because surely this proved that nothing could be changed.
He closed his eyes as the heartache settled deep, weariness already beginning to eat at his concentration again, at his ability to resist the time stream. Naya's son had been draining her essence because here in Ilshan Gath Del Teth there was nothing else.
and when Naya wasn't near, he suffered. It was an untenable situation.
"What's his name?" asked Caden in a low voice, holding out the sleeping boy back to his mother, wondering if on some level she might already know who he was.
Naya took him gently, gazing down at his face. To Caden's shock, he saw tears trickling down her cheeks this time.
"I haven't been able to decide. I want to choose something I know he'd have wanted, and..."
She gave a half-sob, half-laugh as she gazed at the boy's sleeping form.
"It's been months. It's stupid."
"No, it's not," said Caden quietly. He closed his eyes, came to a decision. He had to tell her. "What I did to you, to make the shape-shifting vessel work," he said, not knowing how to broach the subject better, even if he'd had time. "It hurt him. He doesn't have a source anymore." He held her gaze firmly. He died because of what I did, Naya. But it seems that he's an augur, and you're gifted, and some instinct has allowed him to survive by taking essence from you instead."
Naya blanched.
"But you..."
She trailed off, eyes wide with pain and broken trust as she looked at him, lost for words. Caden hung his head.
"I'm sorry. You wouldn't have left otherwise."
He looked up again, accepting the betrayed shock in Naya's gaze.
"I wish that I had more time to beg for your forgiveness, but there's something else you need to know. There's only one other person I have ever met who was able to survive like this. And your son... he's the right age."
Naya stared at Caden blankly, hot anger and confusion warring on her face, before suddenly her eyes went wide.
"Davian?"
she breathed, looking at the boy in disbelief, her fury melting away in an instant. Caden smiled at her reaction.
"I believe so."
Naya's brow creased and another tear trickled down her cheek as panic slowly replaced amazement.
"You want me to give him up," she breathed, "to let you take him to that school in Andara?"
"I want you to save him," said Caden gently. "He cannot survive here. I think you already know that."
"But you will ultimately kill him."
Naya's voice shook.
"He travels back in time, and you kill him. Again."
Caden squeezed his eyes shut tight.
"Yes," he whispered.
He wanted to say something different, but he couldn't lie anymore. Not to her. There was silence, long and cold, and Caden could almost physically feel Naya struggling with what he'd just revealed. Despite the gray streams scrabbling at the edge of his mind, he gave her the time she needed. He owed her that, and far more besides. Eventually, Naya spoke again.
"I don't want to give him to you," she said, voice cracking. "But Raylith would say that we had to. He would say that we should be proud of the man he becomes, and for the part El has chosen him to play."
She sobbed.
"He would tell me that he will grow to be brave and intelligent and important and good and happy and loved. That faith in El's plan was pointless if we were shown it so clearly, told of its success and still tried to change it. Still made the choice to reject it."
The tears flowed freely now, sliding down her cheeks and nose. She nestled the still sleeping boy on her lap and bowed her head, weeping into her hands. Caden drew a shaky breath. He wanted to go over and comfort her, but he knew that wasn't the right move.
"In 20 years, the Ilshara will fall, Naya. The Ilshara will fall, and the rift will close."
He silently prayed that would happen.
"When it does, you should go south. Find a girl named Ashalia Chaedris. You'll want to meet her, and I think that she will want to meet you."
He smiled slightly as Naya looked up, recognition in her eyes. Of course, Davian had talked about her.
"The
because you're right. He is loved. Deeply. By others. And by me.
He finished softly. Naya's tears continued to fall as she cradled her son, stroking his cheek gently.
Davian,
she whispered, giving a tearful smile to the sleeping boy.
How long do I have?
An hour, maybe. I need to make a gate, but I cannot delay any further.
Caden gritted his teeth as the time stream tugged at him again. Naya just nodded, her eyes never leaving Davian. Caden stood.
Is this place important to you in any way?
Naya shook her head.
It was just the best place to hide with him. Not many people around.
She swallowed, the reality of what was ahead causing pain to flit across her features.
But if it's just me, I'll find the resistance.
Good. As soon as I'm through the gate, you need to go,
Caden told her quietly.
The Venerate will sense it opening, though they won't have a clue as to who activated it. They'll be here within minutes. If you're not gone, they'll find you. Put you in the Serrarium again.
Naya's expression clouded, but she took a deep breath and acknowledged the warning. Caden got to work. He had built enough gates recently that this one was done in under an hour, Naya occasionally, reluctantly giving him a boost of essence when he started to falter. He could see her the entire time, couldn't help but admire her resolve as she would gaze at her son, waver, and then steel herself once again. Davian, Caden had to remind himself of that reality more than once, slept peacefully in his mother's arms, thankfully. It was hard enough to stay focused without his plaintive cries, but Caden wouldn't have dared suggest that Naya wait elsewhere if he'd woken. If he let the two of them out of his sight, he wasn't convinced that he'd ever see them again, no matter Naya's remarkable strength. Finally, somehow, despite the time stream's constant pull, despite his tiredness, he was done. He leaned back against the nearest wall, going over the con mechanisms wearily before looking up at Naya, nodding apologetically to the dread in her eyes.
It's time.
Naya took a shaky breath.
I was always a little jealous of his relationship with you,
she murmured, gazing at Davian.
Seeing how easily he got through to you, when you were always so aloof with the rest of us. Seeing how much you admired him.
She gave a tremulous smile, then bent down, kissing Davian gently on the forehead.
I am so proud of you, my boy,
she whispered. The infant stirred, but didn't wake. Naya eventually tore her gaze from her son, looking up at Caden, who nodded once and gently took the boy from her grasp. She clung to him instinctively, but finally, reluctantly, let go. Caden turned to activate the gate.
Wait,
said Naya suddenly, voice shaking as she hurriedly fumbled with something on a cord around her neck.
It was too risky to wear this. It would draw attention here, but...
She took the loop off her head and placed the silver ring on the end into Caden's hand.
I want him to have it, she finished softly. A piece of his parents.
Caden froze, his mind not processing what he was seeing. He could feel the ring, the older ring, still sitting securely in his right pocket from when he'd taken it off Diara's desk.
It will mean a lot to him, he promised her, recovering and slipping it into his left pocket.
Cradling Davian carefully, he triggered the initiation endpoint. The gate flickered to life. Naya watched, her gaze fixed on Davian's sleeping form as Caden started toward the portal.
I love you. Both of your parents do,
she called to the child, fresh tears in her eyes, her voice cracking. Caden didn't stop, despite the hard lump in his throat. He stepped through the gate, turned. Naya was watching with eyes full of anguish, hand covering her mouth, looking like she was doing everything she could not to follow. Her gaze was fixed on her son, drinking in the sight of him. He forced a sad smile to her, and she raised her hand, though he knew it was to Davian more than to him. Heartbreaking, he sliced through the gate's mechanisms. Naya vanished from view. Caden breathed out shakily, letting the emotion of the moment pass before proceeding. The infant in his arms, it was still hard to think of him as Davian, continued to sleep, though Caden could tell that he was still drawing essence from him. Too much longer, and that would become a problem. Fortunately, Davian was about to get all the essence he needed. The lights of Ilinilon below seemed brighter than ever as he moved cautiously to the edge of the balcony, though stars still sparkled keenly in the deep moonless night sky. Surreal, staring down on the peaceful beauty that he would eventually destroy. He turned, gazing briefly through the window. Empty. Another pang of regret and deep sorrow shivered through his chest. Moving carefully so as not to wake Davian, he had already spotted guards patrolling the grounds below. He descended the spiral staircase and hurried cautiously from shadow to shadow through the grounds, several times using some light control to send guards in another direction. He knew the palace well enough to guess where Tayris and any gifted with him would have been accommodated. He breathed out in relief as he came in sight of the east wing, and sure enough, several guards stood at the entrance. The treaty was barely in place. The gifted were no longer prisoners, but they were hardly honored guests right now. Caden adjusted his grip on Davian, who was becoming increasingly heavy in his arms. His heart skipped a beat as the boy squirmed and shifted in response, but in the end he settled back down with a soft sigh. "All right," Caden whispered to him, feeling sweat beating on his brow now despite the cold night air. He had drawn patches of essence from his surroundings, but he was already running low again. "Let's see how this goes." He grasped Khan and stepped outside of time. The time stream screamed at him in response, scrabbling angrily at him, almost causing him to lose his grip on Khan immediately. He took a moment to focus, then slipped between the guards and hurried inside. It didn't take long to spot the only room with light filtering out from underneath the door. Caden opened it, relieved to find that it wasn't locked, and stepped inside. Despite the cacophony in his head, he almost chuckled when he saw the man sitting at the desk, head bowed over some paperwork. Tayris was actually handsome. Young. Caden carefully laid Davian on the bed, and then half stumbled over to the desk, snatching up a piece of paper and pen. His vision swam as he scribbled the note. "This is Davian. Watch over him." He couldn't manage more than that, but he didn't need to. He already knew that Tayris knew Alchesh's prophecies would take Davian to the school in Kaladel. He placed the note next to the sleeping boy and the silver ring from his left pocket on top of the paper. The ring would go to administration sooner or later, but that knowledge stung much less, knowing that one day Davian would get it back. He gave the infant a small smile. "El with you," he murmured. He left, closing the door carefully behind him and finally, exhaustedly, letting the time bubble drop. He stood outside the door panting, then winced as a plaintive cry from inside the room indicated that Davian had finally woken.
"What in fates?" came Tayris's bemused voice.
Caden allowed himself a small smile. He wanted to keep listening to see what happened next, maybe even talk to Tayris. But the pull of the time stream was too much. His essence was waning again, and he knew how this ended. He stumbled and slumped against the wall, head pounding. Everything faded. How long had he been here? He tried to focus, but the torrent ripped him from place to place, his mind shattering and reforming and shattering again as he struggled to orient himself in the shifting, swirling mass of liquid smoke. He cried out, though no words formed. Instead, they were ripped away before he had a chance to voice them, devoured by the void. Fear surged through him, true fear, one that clawed at his chest, sent him to the edge of panic. He couldn't let this end yet. He still had to fix things, to change things. A primal dread that he had all but forgotten settled inside him, deep and violent. He might die here. After being given so much time, he might actually die before doing the things he needed to. The thought was absurd, so much so that he almost let out a terrified laugh. Almost. How long had he been like this? He could feel himself being battered by the time stream, the river tossing him violently from one place to another, one era to the next, and then back again with no respite, no rest. As if it were offended by the presence of one who had hated it with such passion, who had worked against it for so long, since the moment El had died. A light, a patch of gray that seemed meaningful. Caden struggled weakly toward it, his focus failing. And then he was lying in bright light, sun-warmed stone at his back. He rolled instinctively to the side, holding up his hands to shield his eyes. The initial exposure had seared his vision, rendering his surroundings bright white, though the pain felt wonderful compared to the bodiless nightmare of the rift. He gasped like a landed fish, staying still with eyes squeezed shut even as he reached out with Khan. He immediately found a source of essence, allowing the energy to trickle into his body, extending his life for just a little longer. The roaring in his ears faded, and he heard the gentle tinkling of water everywhere around him. He opened his eyes. His heart began to pound. Fountains of artfully crafted white stone spouting sparkling water in joyful coordinated bursts. Perfectly manicured lawns stretching down the hill to the gently shifting forest below. And atop the hill, a shining palace made of crystal. For a brief, stunned moment, he thought that he'd somehow found his way back into the Dokken, but the differences were easy to spot. Walls, smooth and tall and white, encircling the palace and grounds to keep the general populace, which had been him for a long time, out. Small scuffs and marks on the stone, some stray dead leaves on the lawns, a heat that was immediately warmer than was strictly comfortable. The tiny imperfections a Dokken couldn't properly replicate, the ones that made up life and made this place somehow even more remarkable than the replica he had built in his mind. He stood, then immediately ducked down again behind the low white wall of a fountain as movement caught his eye. Guards. They hadn't seen him yet, but there were several patrolling the grounds. His mind raced and his heart drummed painfully as he slumped there, stunned, slowly understanding. El would be here somewhere. El. Everything else seemed suddenly unimportant. He closed his eyes, resolve flooding his limbs with renewed energy. If he wanted to speak to El, for her to actually have a conversation with him, he'd need to look as he once had. That would take care of the guards, too. He was allowed in here, after all. Trembling, he grasped Khan, letting the dark energy flow into him, settle into muscle and bone. Shapeshifting had never been a strength, but he'd practiced so much, and today, right now, he would make it happen quickly. There was no room for failure, no time to do anything else. Already he could feel the insistent tug of the time stream, wrenching at his limbs, threatening to drag him back again. Bracing himself against the pull, he pictured himself, his original body. Pain, sharp and bright. When it was over, there was hot blood in his mouth from where he had bitten down hard on his tongue, forcing himself to stay silent through the transition. He spat red onto the white stone ground, and then lay there panting, before hauling himself up and peering over the edge of the fountain, into the rippling pool. The man staring back at him was someone he hadn't seen in more than 4,000 years. A face he had refused to go back to for so long that it looked like that of a stranger. Talcamar Deshrel. He quickly splashed the worst of the grime and blood from his skin and clothes, fastening the cloak Naya had given him over the top. He was hardly presentable, but he at least wouldn't look as though he was dying now. Weariness washed over him, and he sank back to rest against the low wall of the fountain, drawing more essence as he did so. He was tired after that. So tired. He just needed to close his eyes. He wasn't sure how long had passed before a body was sliding in beside him, shoulder nestling against his.
"Are we hiding?"
He froze, opened his eyes and turned, heart beating out of his chest. El's deep blue eyes sparkled as she looked at him.
You do know that the men won't try and arrest you any more, correct?
She continued in amusement, pausing to peek out girlishly from their position at the patrolling guards.
No matter what Revan would like?
Caden gaped, tongue like lead. Elle's long dark hair was simply bound, stray strands drifting across her face as she grinned at him. She was wearing a summery dress that brought out the azure in her eyes, the light cloth rippling in the breeze. For a moment, an irrational suspicion gnawed at him as he wondered how she had found him. But then he looked into her eyes.
Those eyes! The light behind them, the barely contained joy and happiness and sheer vivaciousness as she looked at him. It was her, not Nethgala. Her.
Of course, it is much more romantic to find you lying in wait on my morning walk like you used to, even if you did apparently fall asleep in the process.
She leaned forward and kissed him lightly, then peered at him.
And have become mute, apparently?
Caden coughed and shook his head, finally finding his voice.
I'd forgotten how beautiful you are, he said softly.
Elle flushed slightly, a smile curling her lips upward.
Well, if you're going to say sensible things like that, I may just keep you around.
She shook her head in half embarrassment and half amusement, twisting in her seated position to study him, those ocean-deep blue eyes gazing into his.
I thought you were leaving for Dianlis last night. I didn't think I'd see you again for weeks.
Her eyebrow rose slightly as she noted his attire.
More disagreements changed your plans, I assume?
Caden glanced down at his tattered and bloodied shirt and trousers. The shadows and seated position disguised some of the damage, and he'd cleaned away the worst of it. But there was no hiding that he'd been in a fight.
Something like that.
But you're all right?
When Caden nodded, Elle relaxed slightly, sighing.
I won't ask, but you really need to stop letting them provoke you, Tal. I know why you're with me, and Maiden and her men will say what they say no matter what you do.
Caden's mind raced as he gazed at her, barely hearing the words. He was supposed to be heading to Dianlis, several hundred miles to the east. The Talcamar of this time was heading there. This was a year and a half before their wedding, then? Almost two? He and Elle were very much in love by this stage, but it was still a while before he even proposed.
I know. And as long as you know, too, that's all I truly care about, he said eventually,
rewarded with a smile from Elle that stole his breath. He forced himself to continue.
I don't have long before I have to go, he added,
feeling the unrelenting pull of the time stream tighten.
But I wanted to see you again first, just for a few minutes.
He finally began to calm, began to accept that this was really happening. He'd envisaged coming back to see Elle 1,000 times, but it had always taken place at his wedding, always been with the intention of preventing that one event, stopping her from leaving the main hall or dealing with the priest outside before she left, or making a scene to force everyone to go home, or 100 other ways he might have changed what had happened. For just a moment, despite everything, he considered whether it was still possible. How could he convince her here and now in only a few short minutes? Scenarios started racing through his head, each one less likely to work than the last. He could hardly tell her that he was from the future and had come back to save her from dying at their wedding. He was going to sound utterly insane if he tried. He could try and break things off with her, end the relationship to save her, but he immediately knew that the Tal of this time would do everything in his power to undo such a move. Or perhaps it didn't need to be that dramatic. Perhaps. His train of thought faltered, his most recent conversation with Naya finally pushing its way insistently into his head. Reluctantly, he let it in, his heart aching as the realization finally, truly sank in deep. No matter what he said or did here,
This wouldn't change anything. Couldn't. This was past. Had already happened. His actions here were an already written history. Which meant that he could spend his last minutes with his wife, burdening her with the knowledge of what was to come, maybe even cause what had happened somehow. Or he could finally say goodbye.
Well, there are certainly more comfortable places to sit around here, observed El, oblivious to his thoughts. And I'm late to see Ferris. Walk with me?
She made as if to rise. Caden held out a hand, gently holding her back.
I really do have to go. Soon, he said seriously.
If he tried to make it to the palace, he wasn't sure that he wouldn't collapse on the way or become too weak to resist being dragged back into the time stream.
Would it be all right if we just sit here? Just for a minute longer?
El gave him a half-amused, half-concerned look. She sank back against the wall next to him.
You're sure you're all right? She asked quietly, squinting at him. You look tired.
Caden smiled weakly.
I am.
His body was also a couple of years older than the one El knew. Not enough for her to specifically notice, sitting here in the shadows, but enough for her to register that something was different.
I'm struggling with something. A kind of crisis of faith, I suppose. I thought maybe you could help.
El blinked.
Of course, she said,
sobering to seriousness immediately. Caden exhaled.
I know this is going to sound morbid, but what would you do if I died?
El's brow furrowed.
If you died, she repeated softly. If you died, Tal, I would grieve for the rest of my life.
El said the words simply, with an honest, quiet sadness at the thought. Caden nodded slowly.
I'd be the same if I lost you too, he assured her, a deep, sharp pain in his chest at the words. But what do you think it would mean for your faith in El? In his grand design? I've been trying to come to grips with that question, and
Caden rubbed his forehead.
I don't doubt his existence. But how could I continue to love, worship, even just accept a god whose plan involved something so precious to me, being ripped away?
El was silent for a few moments, thinking.
As much as I'd like to think that it wouldn't shake my faith, I'd be angry too. So angry, she admitted, an ache to her voice. But I also hope that my grief and pain would eventually fade enough to remember that he gave us each other in the first place.
She smiled slightly and cupped his cheek in her hand, holding his gaze.
I know that's easy to say, though. While living it would be infinitely more complicated. So as much as I would love to ease your mind here and now, Tal, I just don't think that there are any easy answers. It could take a lifetime to come to grips with something like that.
Maybe more, agreed Caden softly.
He took her hand in his, squeezing it, his heart a stone in his chest.
I worry about the man I'd be without you, El. I'd fight El himself, break his plan and burn the world if I thought that it could bring you back.
El smiled slightly.
No, you wouldn't. You would aspire to be better than that, she said,
brushing back a strand of his hair affectionately.
Besides, you'd know that it's not what I'd want.
Caden looked away, emotion choking him.
Be the man I aspire to be, he murmured eventually. A friend of mine said that to me once.
El leaned in, putting her head against his.
Terrible advice for most people. But for you?
She kissed him gently.
Be that man, and I will never stop loving you.
Caden looked up again into her eyes. That genuineness, that light and happiness as she gazed at him. A lump formed in his throat.
I'll do everything I can, then, he promised.
Elle grinned back at him, giving him a cheerful kiss on the head as she used his shoulder to push herself to her feet.
I know you will.
She gazed at him, caught between affection and mild concern.
Ferris is waiting, but I can stay for a little longer if you need to.
Go, he said, forcing a reassuring smile through the ache in his chest. I'm just glad I got to see you again before I leave.
Me too. Stay safe and Dianeless, and we can talk more when you get back.
She kissed him.
I love you.
I love you too, said Caden, voice almost a whisper as he memorized her smile.
He watched as she started to walk away, willing himself not to call her back, willing himself to finally let her go.
And Tal?
Caden's heart felt as if it would wrench from his chest. The sunlight caught Elle's hair as she looked over her shoulder at him.
If you died, I would trust that I would see you again one day, she called,
strands shining in the reflected morning sun from the crystalline palace.
In a better world than this one.
With a final, brilliant smile, she was gone. He sat there for a while longer, the time stream tugging harder and harder at him, his emotions a jumble, replaying the conversation again and again. He wiped at his cheek, vaguely surprised to find tears leaking down his face. Elle had been wrong about him then, but he could prove her right now.
Be the man I aspire to be, he murmured to himself.
Then he froze, thought for a long moment, barely daring to breathe. He shook his head dazedly and gave a soft, disbelieving laugh. Asar would have found it funny, too. Caden finally knew what he had to do, knew how this had to end.
Thank you, he whispered.
He closed his eyes, relishing the warmth of the sun against his skin, let his defenses drop, let the gray stream take him one last time. Caden wrenched himself free from the grasping tendrils of the river, crumpling to the stone underfoot and snatching at the thin strands of essence that now flowed wildly around him. The last echoes of the explosion faded as the shattered lines of power pulsed gold, red, and blue in a chaotic web, the dizzying colors of Khan-modified essence twisting and melting into one another, then diminishing as they decayed in the broken feedback loop of the Javette. Red with flecks of yellow pulsed everywhere in the stone, the ground rumbling ominously beneath him. Caden gritted his teeth as his awareness sharpened, life flowing back into his limbs. The time stream was pulling at him fiercely here, so close to the rift. He dragged himself away from the center, every movement and effort, both physical and mental, past the inner ring of columns. The pressure on him eased, and he collapsed against one of the pillars, panting.
He'd made it. Impossibly, he was here.
But there wasn't much time. He closed his eyes, heart drumming in his chest, focused. Khan was simplicity itself to grasp here, only feet from the rift, but with the chaos around him and the insistent pull of time, it was still difficult to concentrate. For a long few moments, nothing happened, and Caden's apprehension began to grow. He took a deep, measured breath. Tried again. Pain arced through him. This was harder than his transformation into his original self. His body protested, resisted. Everything snapped and tore in violent argument, but he kept going, the sliver of consciousness that he was able to maintain focused only on pushing back the time stream, keeping him here and now. His arms thickened and tightened. Everything in his body suddenly leaner and harder than it had been before. A small, detached part of his mind noted the pull of the old scar on his face as agony twisted his expression. And then, as abruptly as it had begun, it was over. Caden lay there, trembling before draining more essence, the last of the fading power in the room, and crawling to his feet. Step by aching step, he made his way along the corridor, and with a final burst of energy pushed open the doors of the arbiterium.
He blinked into the garish red light for a second, looking around dazedly. After a moment, he spotted whom he was looking for. A man staring in disbelief at him. Himself. Caden walked forward slowly, each step an effort, though he tried not to show it. The essence from the Javet was almost gone now. It didn't matter. All that mattered now was what was left to say.
Tau Kamar, our kind Devade, Caden said calmly as he reached the stunned-looking version of his past self.
Yes? Caden let out a long breath. He'd seen this so many times. He'd played the words over and over. And yet right now, his focus gone in a haze of exhausted emotion, that memory was just a blur. All he knew was that he had to finish this. Convince himself. Set himself along the right path, once and for all.
My name is Davian. I have used the Javet to come here, now, to deliver you a message.
He swallowed. Davian would have said this to him, given the chance, but Caden knew it was the truth, felt it more deeply than anything he'd ever felt. Perhaps, ultimately, that was why it had worked.
It is something that you need to hear, he continued softly. Something which only a friend can tell you.
Tau Kamar glared at him skeptically.
The Javet is broken. What you see are the consequences of it breaking.
He shook his head, a frustrating arrogance to the motion, despite the consequences of what he had just wrought surrounding them.
But let's say I humor you, stranger. What message does my friend bring that requires him to travel through time itself?
That you have been deceived, said Caden, calm certainty in his tone. That no matter how much it hurts, you need to recognize that El is not who he says he is. You need to accept that you are on the wrong side of this fight, and that you always have been.
Is that all? Is that the best that you have to offer? Change sides? Just like that?
Tau Kamar gave a cynical laugh.
I fear that you have come a long way for no reward.
That is not all, Caden assured him. You also need to accept that it is your fault. It is your fault, and there is no undoing it.
You'll have to do better than
you alone.
Caden cut him off before he could speak further, a spark of anger suddenly igniting at his former self's attitude, his myopic, deliberate ignorance.
You killed your friends and loved ones. You destroyed a civilization and sent the scant few survivors on a path that led to yet more destruction. None of this can be undone. None of the lives that were lost can ever be brought back.
Enough,
snarled Tau Kamar, looking rattled. You slaughtered innocents. You hid behind the names Arkhan Devade and El.
But it was always Tau Kamar. Always you, said Caden insistently. You lie to yourself about what you truly believe, and you do it over and over and over every single day because you are afraid of admitting to what the alternative means.
Enough.
It was a clear warning this time. Caden kept going.
You need to accept that your wife is dead, and that she cannot be brought back, that Eliavia is dead, and that you will never see her again.
The words tore at his chest, but he pushed through the emotion, willing himself to get it all out.
You need to do this, because your selfishness has already cost the lives of more good men than there are stars in the sky. Your selfishness, Tau Kamar. Not your blindness, not your arrogance, nor your good intentions. Your utter contempt for anyone but yourself.
Caden said the words loudly now, furiously, begging his past self to listen even as his body's remaining essence began to fade. He needed to hear this. He needed to accept it.
That's not... Listen to me, Tau Kamar,
snarled Caden, putting every ounce of urgency and emotion and energy he had left into the words.
You are at fault. You and you alone. You shield yourself from what you've done. You justify and justify and justify, but you know deep down that it is not enough. For all that you've been given, you are fearful and weak and cowardly. For all you have lost, you have not learned. It's not fate, and it's not love. And it was never, ever because you thought that you were doing the right thing. You know this. You know this better than...
Enough!
Talcomar screamed, and as Caden felt the last of his essence trickle away, he could see that the man before him was lost to his anger now, blinded by a red haze of enraged denial. It didn't matter. Eventually he knew that man would change. Lycanius was out of its sheath. Talcomar raised it high. Caden smiled. This is the end of The Light of All That Falls. If you enjoyed this audiobook, find more just like it by visiting oddfans.com, the premier audiobook discovery service that brings tailored recommendations direct to your email. That's audfans.com. You have been listening to The Light of All That Falls, Book 3 of the Lycanius Trilogy. Produced by Emily Durr. Executive producer, Greg Lawrence. Written by James Eilington. Performed by Michael Kramer, a member of SAG-AFTRA. Text copyright, 2019 by James Eilington. Production copyright, 2019 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.